Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 9 a.m. on AM 1340 KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each Sunday afternoon. And this show, of course, is produced by my very dedicated team of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School, under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. Daniel's on the board, and we're just talking about him being a little nervous about an upcoming choir solo.
What are you talking about, Joan?
That's true. Okay, we record in advance. That's right. I'm sure you did fabulously well, Daniel, as you always do, but appreciate you being here always. And a little disclaimer, I am getting over this hard flu, so hopefully I won't cough much, but I apologize ahead of time. And I am very pleased to welcome my guest today from our Nutritional Services Department, our director, Ms. Stephanie Bruce. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Joan.
And a little surprise guest, which I'm very happy about, Mr. Matt Upton. He's a consultant and he does staff development, and we'll talk about all of the stuff that he gets involved in, but customer service and classroom stuff and teaching teachers and classified staff and kids now. So welcome, Matt. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joan.
Stephanie, how long have you been here now?
Oh, gosh. 4.5 years. Oh, my God. Almost 5 years. Holy cow. Really? 5 years. Yeah.
Well, in some ways, it seems like forever. In other ways, it seems like you just got here.
I know.
But you have certainly made a very positive impact on our nutritional services.
Oh, thank you.
Department and offerings. And things are going really well. And I don't hear a lot of complaints. You still hear a few. Not like it used to be. So,
thank
you. Kudos. And what's your background?
Well, I have a degree in hotel restaurant management and an MBA in finance. I started as a chef. Actually, I have a culinary arts degree right from College of the Desert here in the Valley, and worked for the Palm Desert Marriott for a period of time in banquets. Went on to theme parks, and then on a fluke took a job in a school district in Yucaipa, and I've been doing that for the last 20 years now.
Wow. And you're talking about the Desert Springs Marriott?
Yes.
I love that hotel.
I do too.
They've built so many hotels since then, and I still think it's the best.
There's a little city of restaurants in there, and I just rotated throughout that and the banquets, and it was fun.
Well, and they still are, you know, I still think they have the largest banquet facilities there, because, all of the majors were there. The Bob Hope Classic, which is, of course, called something else now, but, I mean, they're able to do, 1,200 meals and with their eyes closed.
Oh, yeah.
Not many places can do that. And they do it well.
They do. They do it well. And I was lucky enough to meet Frank Sinatra for one of his banquets there. So I go back a long way.
Yeah.
But it was a great learning experience.
Yeah. Well, we're glad, though, that you got out of that business and into school nutrition.
Me too.
Because you are certainly doing a lot around here. And speaking of that, how many meals do we serve in a year?
In a year, with breakfast, lunch, and supper, we do just shy of 4 million meals a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, almost close to 25,000 meals a day.
That's incredible.
It's pretty incredible.
It truly is. And kids don't get sick. They're happy.
Yeah.
School lunches are not the same as when we went to school.
No.
And I think that's a good thing. I marvel sometimes going on school campus and, seeing kids eating Chinese food out of the containers that you get in the Chinese restaurants, and smell so good. So, there's a lot of new rules that have seemed like it started with Michelle Obama.
It did. We're now in our eighth year of the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act.
And I, for the most part, it's good. It also puts a lot of restrictions on us that we didn't have before. It makes it difficult for some fundraising at the schools. You know, they have to find different ways. But give us a little snapshot of some of the bigger things that have changed in the past couple of years.
In the past couple of years or along? Well, I mean, well, the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, of course, you know, put calorie limits and required 100% of all of our grains to be whole. And requires a student to take a fruit or vegetable with a meal, all great things. But in addition to that, it also put some regulations on foods outside of the meal program. So, you know, one of the easiest things for our ASBs and PTAs to do is fundraise through food. But they have to meet certain regulations, and there's also requirements about the time of the sale, how many sales they can have a year, and it's difficult to find foods that fit within those nutritional guidelines.
So they used to, like, be able to, well, years ago, they used to be able to sell See's candy during the school day.
Right.
They used to be able to sell the cookie dough during the school day and, you know, like, whatever else they were.
Pretty much anything they wanted to.
Right.
But now, unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, it's all in the best interest of health and nutrition. But there are regulations. They have calorie limits. It can't be over 200 calories. It has to be a whole grain item. It has to not have more than 35% total fat, 10% saturated fat, no trans fat.
Anything that's not only that's served during our meals or for our meals, but even anything they're selling to raise funds.
Correct. Even the a la carte foods that we sell that are outside the meal program all have to meet these strict regulations. And it's anything on the school campus from midnight to 30 minutes after the end of the school day. All foods must meet those nutritional regulations.
And that's being followed for the most part.
For the most part. We're working on it. We do have a wellness committee. We're actually in the process of sending out all of our surveys to the wellness committee members who are going to be out surveying the sites and seeing what we're doing well and where we need to improve. And
But they can't even, like, a lot of the schools gave food incentives for, like, Student of the Month.
Yeah.
You know, like In-N-Out Burgers and, you know, Ben and Jerry's ice cream cones. And they can't do that anymore, right?
All great stuff, and I love all of it.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't meet the nutritional requirements for a school site.
A lot of people don't like you.
I know.
And it's like, don't shoot the messenger.
Exactly. I am, yeah. And I always tell the principals when I stand in front of them to give, you know, a report that I feel like I'm always giving them bad news. And it's made us have to police things I never thought I'd have to police, but it's the rules, and it's just my job to enforce them.
So since these new regulations have come about, are we seeing any decrease in obesity levels? Do we know that? Is anybody tracking it?
It is being tracked, and there has not been a significant decrease, but it hasn't increased. But the reality is, I mean, at least for the meal program, I serve most students one meal a day. I see them for 30 minutes, and there's only so many calories I can offer a student to consume in 30 minutes. What happens outside of that isn't regulated, and it's just education and things that we just need to learn, and we need to be more active. We are a less active society on a whole scale. And, you know, without that and proper nutrition, we're going to get a little heavier.
Yeah. And so, Matt, you've done some work with our school nutrition staff members. And so tell us a little bit about that.
I think that the greatest people that we have, really, on campus, some of the greatest people we have are the ones that nobody knows their first name. They don't know their last name. They just say, that's my lunch lady.
It's the lunch lady, yeah.
And when surveys are taken at 25 and 30-year high school reunions and they say, who do you remember on campus? Notoriously, almost all the time, it comes back to the same three people. the number one is the coach that they remember. And that's because the coach challenged them to do something that they didn't think they could do. They always remember the mean teacher. They always do. Everybody knows the mean teacher. And the third one is they always remember their lunch lady. I call them LGs, the lunch guy or the lunch girl. And they remember them because it's in front of them that some of those students for the very first time today get a smile. For the first time today, they get appreciated in a way that they don't have to earn it. They don't get a grade there, and they get there. And what I see here is passionate people that want to do sometimes what's the impossible, you know? And they don't get to call in reinforcements. They have to do it. They can't call up the vice principal and say, sorry, the freezers broke down, we can't do lunch today. Mm-hmm. They do it anyway because they're passionate about students, because they really believe that in the mantra that Stephanie has instituted called, we serve students. And that's what we do. And so everything they do is around that mantra, we serve students. And that's because of Stephanie's leadership. And I get to come alongside of that and just assist them in communicating that and living that out and doing customer service and working through the treasures that's within the conflict that happens throughout the day. It's pretty remarkable to see what they do. Remarkable people.
And a lot of them do go above and beyond, you know.
Oh,
just
yes.
Their quote job is to make sure the meals get out, make mm-hmm. sure they're the right temperature, make sure they're wrapped properly, make sure that kids are taking the food that they're supposed to take.
Yeah.
And yet they are also looking and they might see a kid, you know, that needs a pair of shoes or
right.
that, you know,
yes.
is wearing tattered clothing. And
yeah, they always have spare change in their pocket because there are always those students who will walk up to get a meal and it might be $2.25 and they have $1.80 in their pocket. So our ladies will always take money out of their pocket to pay for a student who doesn't have enough money. They're amazing people.
Well, and we're lucky to have them, and I've had the good fortune of meeting a lot of them, and they really are awesome, and they seem to, by and large, love what they do.
They do. I mean, even through this crazy flu epidemic that we're dealing with, where we've had 20% of our workforce sick on any given day, most days,
mm-hmm.
And they call and say, you know, I don't have a person, and I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have anyone to send you, and they still get it done. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who have never had the good fortune of seeing our central kitchen, it's really remarkable.
Come
I
by.
Mean, people are, you know, we had a few weeks ago, we had KMIR came out and did some interviews, and then they did some live stuff from mm-hmm. the kitchen, and the reporter immediately texted me and said, oh my gosh, this is just totally amazing. And my answer was, I told you.
I know, he wanted to stay for lunch that day.
He was just blown away. What I was impressed with, because I was at home watching the live at 6 o'clock, was watching the whole kitchen staff doing calisthenics. I'm like, do they really do that? I asked Monica, I said, do they really do this? Are they doing this for the camera? And she said, oh no. She said, they do this every day.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes of the day, they spend stretching as a group. We've been doing it now, I think, for 3 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you literally can eat off the floors in that kitchen. It's just, you know, there are people there who are constantly behind other people just cleaning up. And the stainless steel is spotless, and the pots and pans are beautiful. And it just does not look like my kitchen.
I know, nor mine. Our custodian, Clark, is amazing. We have one custodian for that huge facility. And you know, the other day I was in helping on one of the lines and I flipped some yogurt onto the floor, and before I realized what I had done, he was already there cleaning it up.
just really incredible stuff. And if you just joined us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on AM 1340 KWXY. And my guests are from our Nutrition Services Department, Stephanie Bruce, who's our director extraordinaire, and Mr. Matt Upton, who has been doing a lot of consulting work with our team in nutrition services and beyond. And we have, and some people still don't know this, mm-hmm. but we have a very interesting and kind of shocking demographic in our district. And what are we up to, 87%?
I think we're 85%, 84-85% for your reduced.
Okay, qualified. Now we still are saying free or reduced.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, didn't we do away with the reduced part?
We did. However, our reimbursement is based on whether a student qualifies for a free meal, a reduced meal, or a paid meal. And it's different dollar amounts. So I still have to account for the meals served based on those eligibilities. That will determine the dollar amount I get in reimbursement from USDA.
Gotcha.
But
okay,
we don't charge the students for
a reduced meal anymore.
No one.
And also, so we have 85% of our kids don't pay anything for anything. And then also, well, it's probably been, maybe it's been 10 years already. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, but for the past several years, we have been providing free breakfast. Every student, no questions asked.
Correct.
So mom and dad doesn't have time to do a hot breakfast for our kids. They can come to school and get a breakfast.
Yes, they can, every day.
And that's really awesome because you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that if kids are hungry, they can't learn very well.
That's true. We also offer supper at all of our elementary sites after school, too. So
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's after school, and that's open to any child as well?
It's open to any child. Doesn't have to be someone enrolled in that site.
Wow.
What we do is we serve the after-school programs, the ACES programs. Mm-hmm. But if there's any other student on campus who would like to participate, they're welcome to participate.
I'm sure we must get athletes who
we do
come around looking for food. Kids get hungry.
We also serve at Desert Hot Springs High School. We do an after-school supper program there because we have a lot of students on campus after school. Some of those kids they have lunch at 1 o'clock and then they don't go home till 8 or 9. So we make sure that they get fed.
And so what constitutes a supper?
A supper is, it's similar to the lunch program. It doesn't have quite as many component requirements, but it's very similar. So we offer a protein, a grain, a fruit and a vegetable and milk for that supper. So it's not quite a full dinner, but it's kind of, it's like a more substantial snack to get them through until they can get home and have
hot
dinner.
Hot food or more sandwiches?
Both. We do both. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially at Desert Hot Springs High School, we have hot and cold. And sandwiches, salads, and same at the elementary schools. We do a cold pre-pack supper, but we also provide some hot items as well.
How do you know how many kids are going to show up, or is it pretty consistent?
Well, with the after-school programs, it's pretty consistent. We keep in contact with any of the people running those programs to see what the enrollment is, and we just make sure we have enough. We always have things set aside that are shelf stable, so if we have more than we normally do, we still have some things that we can offer the students.
And so every year you go through the process of, and I think you do your menus a year in advance, right?
We do. We plan all of our menus a year in advance, and we're all very heavy into planning menus for next year already because we have to have our orders into USDA next week.
Wow. Okay. So speaking of that, like, how do you go about doing that? I know I was involved, it's probably going back 2 years now, but I know there was a group at one of our high schools that was kind of vocal about, you know, we're not feeling it right now, which is like, you know, some things are okay, but we don't like a lot of different things. And what did you guys do? You invited them to the kitchen and you did some pretty heavy duty tasting.
We did.
And you listened to them.
We did.
And the stuff that they liked, you brought it on, and the stuff that they didn't like,
we took it off.
Yeah. And so is that a consistent practice?
Well, it is. We've actually expanded that. I invited the same group of students to come speak to a group of food service directors and industry members who were here for a conference in Palm Springs 2 years ago, I think that was, and asked them to be very honest. And they were, which was great. So it was very eye-opening for a lot of directors out there. And, you know, one of the things I told them is, well, I plan this great program, but until you really go out and talk to the customer, you really have no idea whether you're successful or not. So that helped guide us to a more expansive testing program that we do now. And the last 3 months, Jennifer, our wellness coordinator, and Missy, our central kitchen supervisor, have conducted over 100 different taste tests in all different grade levels in different school sites. In some cases, it's been a full test on the lunch line. So we'll buy the product, cook it as they would normally see it, put it on the line, and then go out and talk to the students. We're trying our first ever vendor show with students at Painted Hills Middle School next Wednesday, the 21st. And we have vendors coming out, and they're going to be testing with the kids, and they'll let us know what they like and what they don't like. And that will be the final taste test that we do for this menu, and will give us all of our final decisions.
So what are some of the things that we have coming next year?
Well, you're going to see more... some more Asian style foods. We're testing actually a banh mi sandwich, which is a Vietnamese style sandwich. Yeah. We're also testing some pho bowls to see if that's something that we can provide to the students in a good, you know, in a quality that they would appreciate. Different pizzas that we have tested. We've tested some sandwiches, hot sandwiches that are wrapped in a dough. Different meatballs, a beef teriyaki dunker that you can dunk in a sauce. We've tested some chicken wings with Frank's Red Hot that the kids just clamored all over. They couldn't get enough of those. We tested also a Chick-fil-A style chicken, and it's actually the same company that provides the chicken to Chick-fil-A. But what they didn't like was the dill flavoring that Chick-fil-A puts in theirs. So they gave us a sample of one without the dill flavoring. The kids loved it. So it's a whole muscle chicken with a light breading on it. It's delicious.
Great. Oh, I'm hungry now.
I know.
Matt, what are you hearing out there?
I hear the students love going in there. Some of them don't because they don't go in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just don't go in there. And those students that don't go in there seem to have a larger voice sometimes than the ones that do. Yet the ones that do eat every single day. And every once in a while, I get to go in and put a hairnet on, stand in line, and work the line. And so they don't know that I'm doing what I'm doing. They think I'm a new employee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always wonderful to see how the student reacts to the staff and how the staff reacts to the student.
You're like a secret shopper.
There are times. There are times, yes. And students here, by and large, I think are very respectful. They're very honorable. They love being in there. They do everything that they can to receive the food. They speak well of it. And when you go out and watch them eating, they're chattering away and they're eating away and they're enjoying their day. And a student that's got food in his belly is a happier student and a smarter student. They learn better, they retain better, they do better.
And you do see more, especially with younger kids,
mm-hmm.
eating fruits and vegetables.
Oh, so much more, especially since we put salad bars.
You know,
they're a lot more work.
And are you still doing the fruit of the month or
harvest of the month?
It's
a program that we don't subscribe to anymore, but Jennifer, our wellness coordinator, does a harvest of the month on the menu. So if you look at our menus, whatever fruit is we're supporting that month or is part of the harvest of that month is the picture in the background, and it's showcased on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of do our own program now.
You do have, and a lot's being done, especially at Cielo Vista. Not that there's not effort being taken at all of our sites, but Cielo Vista's got a dedicated wellness coordinator at their site, which is a pretty amazing thing.
They do, yeah.
And what you see that goes on that campus, first of all, you know, the staff is modeling.
They live it.
They live it. They don't have any vending machines. Their vending machines have like like water. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a granola bar or a fruit in there. I mean, you cannot find a candy bar on that campus anywhere.
No, you can't. And they do an amazing program at breakfast too, where the students go out and do some sort of physical activity and they come in as a classroom and have breakfast.
So, and so in turn, these kids are going home to their parents and saying, "Mom, we shouldn't be eating that. And this is what we should be cooking. And, you know, we tried these kiwis at school today." And this, and it's that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And I know that as a department, you guys do events throughout the year where, you know, parents are invited in so that they can experience breakfast with their kids.
Yes.
And kind of get a better feel for what they should be doing at home, because unfortunately they're busy.
Yeah.
They're also low income, many of them, and still it's cheaper to eat crappy. It's gone better, and you can do it, but you have to work harder at it.
Yeah. I used to cook all the time, and the busier I get, the less I cook. And I've in the last few months committed myself to, I cook dinner every night and I get my lunch ready for the next day. And
you know, I cook on Sundays for the week.
That's good.
What I do. And I portion stuff out.
A lot of
out.
People are doing that, Joan.
I pour, for my husband, I portion everything out for the week. And, you know, he sometimes he'll complain about the fact that, you know, like, where's the beef? You know, like, yeah. I mean, and but then if I ever bump it up, he's like, you know, I think you're giving me a little too much food. I mean, he notices, and you notice on the scale too, you know, but it makes a difference if you take the time, and if you do, and if you shop the ads, and if you, you know, buy stuff when they're on sale. I mean, you know, you could get boneless chicken breasts for $1.39 a pound if you're smart, if you buy it and stock up when it's on sale.
Well, and the beauty about the lunch program and the school breakfast program is we've pre-portioned it for you.
That's right. That's right. But they go, you know, hopefully they go home and eat dinner, and, and you hope it's not, you know, a Big Mac from McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but, and my husband, you know, like, I mean, he used to go out to lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
And now he brings his lunch because I make it for him. And he says, "Well, I don't know about, I really don't pay that much attention to how much you're spending, but I'm saving a lot of money." I said, "You know what? I'm not spending much more because I do it smartly and I, you know, and I cook fresh and, you know, so you have to be smart about it, but it is possible."
It is possible. True.
And you're just doing a really bang up job.
Well, thank you.
One of the things that I admire about what Stephanie does and her team, regardless of the student's position in life, when they come in to that line, they're all equal.
Mm-hmm.
They all get the same meal,
mm-hmm.
whether on the paperwork it's free or reduced or a full pay. Every single student gets the exact same choices, the exact same smile from their LG, the exact same welcome to our kitchen, welcome to our restaurant. And that's one of the things, of all the things, that's remarkable. And the menu is remarkable.
Yes, we're in a classroom.
the menu is remarkable. And with all the things they have going on, to me, one of the most incredible things is when they get in that line, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm. No food shaming in Palm Springs Unified.
No, we're one of two districts that I know of that implemented that at the beginning of the school year, mm-hmm. and it's now a law, and we're actually doing a really good job at it. I thought that it was going to be a little different, but it's been amazing. We've had some people come out of the woodwork and donate money and to those kids who can't pay, and it's working out great.
Awesome. Thank you for everything that you do. Matt, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And next week, our guest will be my monthly co-host, our arts coordinator, Louise Castrodale. And she's bringing with her Ann Greer, the executive director of the Virginia Waring International Piano Competition. Our show airs each Sunday on AM 1340 KWXY. Our podcast is uploaded each Sunday afternoon. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Daniel, and we'll see you next week.